So that's
Joy.
no, you look great, Joe. So we're now officially live. So this is like Saturday Night Live without the,
Comedy.
craziness, maybe. Well, no, there'll be comedy. I just don't know if it'll be any good.
Yeah, well, that's always the challenge,
And there's
right?
no and there's no musical bands unless we can get your daughter to show up. So hey everybody, this is Max Calogli with SRP Medical Marketing, and I'm here with my good friend Joseph Krieger, who is with Boston BioLife. And Joe's one hell of a guy, even though he's a Bostonian, and a Red Sox fan, and he's a pretty average golfer. So more importantly, what we're going to do is we're going to talk today about the FDA and regenerative medicine, because this is kind of a big topic these days. So I got a bunch of questions for you, Joe. I know I'll just be able to ask one, and then you're going to go for like 20 minutes. But can you just give everybody like a quick overview? What just happened in the last couple of weeks with the FDA and regenerative medicine?
Okay, so somewhere around, I would say 2016 to 2017, the FDA came up with a series of guidance documents around what was reasonable utilization of what they call regenerative medicine technologies. Those are often referred to as stem cell therapies, but in a broad classification, they come from either from yourself, which is autologous, or from your species, other humans, that which is allogeneic, and they fall into two, three primary baskets, which is cells, signals, and scaffolds. So if you
Okay.
think about regenerative medicine, it's come from two places and it consists of three things. Now that's super overgeneralized, but what they said was you can use autologous products for what's called homologous use, so like to like. So fat from your love handle could go to your rear end because technically it's cushioned. And there was been a lot of nuances and around definitions and terms surrounding
Right.
functionality. So, like for example, one of the more controversial considerations was that the human women's breasts make milk, and therefore fat transfer from your behind or your love handles or any reserve adipose tissue couldn't be used for structural reconstruction of the breast. That was met with a lot of umbrage, if, as you might imagine, is because breast reconstruction is a very popular and necessary technology and technique for people with radical mastectomies, with radiation burns that can't tolerate traditional implants. And, so there's a big issue there emotionally and physiologically for a wide range of patients. But that was just one of the nuances, if you will, that the FDA decided to dig into. And there's definitions of homologous use, which actually go down to the cellular level, where all periocytes regenerate tissue, and all cells, all tissue has blood vessels, and all blood vessels have periocytes. Therefore, all of
Right.
it's homologous use. So we're getting into semantics and terminology, but the essence of it was autologous products used in a homologous manner from homolog, and you can't manipulate those cells. So I think three and four go together. Four is same day surgical exception, which means that you can't like wait a week and then come back. And I believe
So
the idea there
as
was,
long as they're modifying them in room and they're using them in the
well, you're not
patient,
to
that's
modify them all, but you're supposed to do everything in one shot. It
right.
can take a
Okay.
few hours, but so if you're going to pull blood and spin it, so you got the blood products, the bone products, and the adipose products from autologous tissue. We'll start there. And those are where people have been primarily getting their cells, their signals, and their scaffolds from. So we know that blood clots, and so that's an allogeneic autologous fibrin, which can be used as an extracellular matrix. And we know adipose tissue has a lot of MSCs that you can see when you harvest them. And we know there's a lot of fat in abundance in clinical setting, and people want to get rid of that fat. People want to store that fat. So fat's kind of, and fat's highly angiogenic, but it's devoid of many other things. And then you got bone marrow, and bone marrow is probably the most tested over time, having a research history back around 30 years. Felipe Hernegou, the godfather of regenerative medicine, who I believe never
Does he get a
invented
pinky ring
bone.
with that? I just need to know. Does he get a
Yeah,
pinky
no, he
ring
doesn't
and
get
a
a
corner
pinky
table
ring,
in the
and
back?
he's
Okay.
actually the sweetest guy you've ever met. He's such a
No,
nice man. But he actually did cell counts on 6,000 patients in St. Mary's Hospital, University in Paris, and has the largest database of bone marrow MSC counts in the world. And has really been, he's been very gracious with his time. He's come to the US quite a few times. Different organizations have hired him to speak. I don't think he gets to talk enough because of
Yeah.
whatever issues of, when he goes to IO Foundation or AOM, he lectures for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and literally he probably could talk a whole day about his experiences. But he was one of the first people to demonstrate that bone can regenerate bone. So, you
So
know, for.
what's the FDA trying to do on this? What's your take on
So
this?
the
Is
FDA
that
made these guidelines, and then they said to everybody, "We're going to give you 3 years to kind of get your act together." They kept having he town meet. They kept having hearings, and like thousands of people were outside of the Bethesda, Maryland facility, saying, "We want it. We're here for the hearing." And they're like, they gave everybody 30 seconds to say their piece, and they got hammered. And they had scientists and PhDs and doctors and patients and advocates and legislators and lawyers and lions and tigers and bears, oh my, all coming to them with different interpretations of the rules and the regulations. So they said, TV timeout, let's wait 3 years. That 3 year period is over. And they've extended it two or three times. So what you're hearing right now is that the FDA has going to suspend the moratorium on the time of non-enforcement, May 30th. Okay, we just happen to have a meeting coming up. I guess I didn't, in my infinite wisdom, foresee this as a time consideration, but it's actually quite timely in a way because I believe that most doctors are good. I believe they want to help their patients. I believe the current standard of care, which is drugs and surgery, has limitations at best, and it has failure rates that are far in excess of what regenerative medicine potentially can have. But I do think that the industry needs to be challenged with good manufacturing, good stewardship from academia, and from manufacturing. Technology providers are a huge resource in this. And patients need to be their own care plan advocates, and they need to understand that this doesn't work for everybody, that there's other comorbidities and other issues that affect how well. So patient selection is a huge component as to who does well. And this all boils down to what I love is translational medicine education. So how do we look at personalized precision medicine as it applies to these cell signals and scaffolds, and whether they come from you or they come out of a bottle? And we know the future will be some type of integration of live and you know, maybe laboratory produced components. And maybe there's a form of alchemy that's developed over time where individual what they do for your knee maybe isn't what's done for my knee. Maybe I've got genomics or biomarkers in my blood that indicate that I'm a better candidate for certain things with other supplements, nutrition, or therapies, and what we call the longitudinal care plan pathway, which how do I treat this patient over a long time of looking at root cause and systemic effects using not just regenerative medicine or stem cells, but the entire litany of translational medicine from tests to markers to nutrition to supplements to hormones to peptides to mechanical devices. I think you've met my cat now. Mechanical
I was gonna
devices,
say,
shock wave therapy,
I'm this is just it doesn't
live TV. Thank you.
live you know
Anyway.
this is life in the Zoom work from home environment, right?
But so that's kind of in a nutshell. So people, I don't think need to be afraid of this. But if you're saying that you can cure diseases and you're using products that aren't potentially cleared by FDA,
The best is the tail up above your head.
that's
Look,
just the tail
you've just
wagging the
grown a
dog right there.
tail. This is the best ever.
The long and the short of it is that people need to behave a certain way. Patients need to manage expectations. Industry needs to behave and function with the best intention of GMP and good guidelines. And people need to keep track of what works and, more importantly, what doesn't work. Right. So when the world of functional medicine and regenerative medicine come together, what we see is a complete ability. And you know this from your experience in men's health and treating and running a clinic. It's like it's not a one trick pony. It's not a one size fits all. And I think that there's several things that you could argue are going against this. One is, you know, peer-reviewed, you know, publications, level one evidence, which is, you know, double blind, randomized, placebo-controlled, multi-center studies. Those are very expensive. Anecdotal evidence isn't necessarily perceived as valuable, although the FDA has guidance for activities of daily living and real-world evidence, which is, are you off of drugs? Did you have a fusion or a surgery? Are you able to resume a normal lifestyle? Are you working? All of these are really, you know, where the rubber hits the road in terms of what worked and what didn't. You know, did your hair grow back? Dermatologically, we can see things, burns, wounds, hair. Sexually, yeah, you can see behavioral effects. Ortho's tough because you can't really see without follow-up imaging, although it's been done, it's been validated. And I think at the end of the day, this is a challenge for the industry to rise up and to demonstrate efficacy, ethics, compliance, good manufacturing, and best patient practices with patient engagement and education to bring the entirety of the communities, the government, academia, pharma, patients, private. And it's being driven by primary family sole practitioners functioning in independent worlds, not necessarily in hospitals. There's
Right.
only,
How
I think.
valuable do you think it is that places like Mayo Clinic and Hopkins are and UCLA are jumping on this regenerative medicine stem cell bandwagon? How, I mean, is that going to give some cover, you think, to the local practitioner?
I mean, I think that what they're probably going to do is handle more complicated things like Parkinson's and dementia and systemic issues, things like autism, Alzheimer's, because there are a lot of things. So you have tissue engineering and stem cell therapy. Tissue engineering is when you regrow tissue using stem cell technologies. These are clearly manipulated tissue types, but when they're implanted in certain structures, or if they're harvested from you, see, what people don't realize in the realm of regenerative medicine or tissue engineering is this whole litany of other things. So you got biomarkers, which can tell you not the genetics that you have, because DNA, one copy of DNA goes to 10 copies of RNA, but that 10 copies of RNA makes thousands of proteins. And it's the proteins like insulin that either work or don't that cause an issue like dopamine that cause the clinical part, right? So by able to see the deficiency in the protein that's expressed, tracking that back to the genetics, you now have a functional methodology to determine where that patient is. That's a powerful tool. Genetic editing, having the ability to insert genes using bacterial mechanisms that have been out there for billions of years. Looking at the ability to hot rod the immune system, CAR T and CAR NK, which really have the ability to target therapies. So the coronavirus vaccine is a targeted immunotherapy. You're delivering just the mRNA that you need to create the spike protein so your immune system sees it, and when it shows up, it attacks it. It's brilliant. So many things happened during COVID that would never have happened otherwise. And perinatal biologics were given the opportunity to mitigate cytokine storm and inflammatory management for disease, for ARDS. Right? It's the cytokine storm that causes the respiratory disease. That's caused by your immune system. Ow. The cat's literally he's telling me.
You know,
But the perinatal biological
of all lives
was
I've ever done, this is the best. I mean,
the
because just
perinatal biologics was never giving a sniff for orthopedics, was never given any validation for hair, sexual wellness, dermatology maybe, topical only. But now all of a sudden it's the star of the show when it comes to mitigating the worst natural disaster in our world's history. The thing that's hurt this world more than anything is this COVID-19. Our response to this virus in the form of immune health, right? But they said, gee, these products all have the ability to mitigate massive inflammatory responses. And that's why they got INDs. I think Organocell got three or four. I think a couple other companies got one or two. I think Direct Biologics. So that, in a weird way, we found out the FDA gets out of the way, and we look to what we already have. There's some answers there that maybe we don't accept them in traditional sense, like in orthopedics. But look at what we were able to demonstrate, and then the whole notion of immune health and looking at how the immune system can react, and everybody can take their own responsibility. You didn't hear an awful lot about vitamin D, sunshine, zinc, exercise, fresh air. You were told to stay home, wash your hands, don't talk to anybody, wear a mask. Oh, and the weed stores and the liquor stores are open too, by the way. So is
Yeah,
Burger
that
King and
was my
McDonald's.
favorite. Yeah, you could go to the cigar lounge, you could go to the liquor, you could go buy booze, and that was my favorite. The
But you know,
you know,
always, always looking at the upside. You know, look at the upside. We learned a lot. People need to be involved in their own care, and I think that's what's the most important thing. When we talk about personalized precision medicine, it's not a doctor. It's the patient that really needs to work with the doctor to be their own steward of care and to drive their own healthcare programs, because they're the customer of healthcare.
You know,
They're the customer of medicine.
the days of the uninformed patient are long gone. You know, my girlfriend Katie works in advertising. She's, you know, been doing it for 25 years, and she's a planner, and they get all this data and everything. And she's just, you know, repeat, if you're 45 and under, you want to have that debate with your medical, not in a bad way, but you not walking in with the WebMD printout, but like actually educated, you know, versus our parents were just like, yeah, whatever the doctor tells me to do, I'm going to go ahead and do. So Which I think is good for regenerative and stem cell, because you know there's more and more people, like where I work out, people are always talking about stem cell and regenerative and exosomes and the role of HRT in this and the role of vitamin D and DHEA. And it's wonderful to see, because it's, you know, I think, you know, you and I are on the same plane in this, is that, you know, there's so much more out there that's available for you to have a better life and a more active life. So this is, I think it's a great conversation to have. So what do you think is, and I know you're, I want to talk about your event here in just a minute. So you're not really, the sky is not falling with this FDA thing. You're not running around like Chicken Little saying, you know, put everything in non-perishable goods and head of the hills.
No, and I think it's, as a matter of fact, I think if you stand back from space and look at what we've learned and the time that's gone by, in a lot of ways was a great opportunity for people to reconcile data, for people to do cohort, you know, cohort studies to look at, you know, the body of evidence, So when you look at the meta-analysis of paper, so the ACIP group, the International Association, American Association of Interventional Pain Physicians, published a book in where they looked at all the papers for regenerative medicine and orthopedics and pain management. And they gave it like a 2.6 out of 5, close to 3. Interdiscal biologics did better. Facet joints did okay. Ligaments and tendons. But overall, it was fairly positive, considering there was no rhyme or reason to how it was done and who did it. It was just kind of like, let's try this, let's try that. And I think is what you're finding is people are starting to condense and consolidate, you know, each biologic and like classifying it. So now we've got, you know, 5 years of outcome studies. Organizations are doing their own version of, you know, 247 OA patients using bone marrow aspirate, showing a 70% increased OS3 VAS and KOOS scores for just knee, right? So when you start to look around, you know, does it work for everybody? No. What inclusion and exclusion criterions are people to understand? And again, when you look at who does well and who doesn't do well, and when you look at the patient, right, and you figure out, all right, this is the beauty of some other science that's come into play, like nutrition, like gut health, like hormones, like peptides, by restoring homeostasis and looking at the chemistry levels of different critical factors in anybody, you can find their ability to be healthier and tolerate or accept or have better outcomes with complicated procedures like bone marrow or an adipose or even a simple PRP injection, because there's variability in the patient, there's variability in the products, how they're done, the manufacturers make them, then the doctor itself, and then where you put them. A lot of chances for stuff to not work. But oddly enough, or even, you know, there is a lot of evidence that shows, I think in bone marrow patients alone, there's 10,000 that have been, you know, described in just the recent, I think, 8 years. So clinicaltrials.gov has a lot of studies. PubMed has a lot of studies. We have a peer-reviewed research journal, our tool that allows you to have access to every journal on the face of the earth and peer review. And you just put in adipose-derived biologics for orthopedics, and you'll get papers that were published a month ago that show we've been able to stimulate chondrocyte growth. We've been able to remove inflammatory biomarkers. We've been able to do this and that and that. Sometimes it's in a rabbit. Sometimes it's in a human. Sometimes it's in a petri dish. But it's not zero.
Right. So, and this is the kind of stuff that you'd go over in your events, right? And you're back to doing live events. Thank God. We were down in Miami at an event about 3 weeks ago. So you're doing another event. It's in Dallas. You're doing two of them back to back with some hands-on. So, and this is the kind of stuff we're going to cover, right? So tell everybody about that.
Yeah, so the first two days are personalized precision medicine, where we look at all the stuff I just talked about, genetics, genomics, proteomics. We look at hormones, peptides, and also gut health. And then basically nutrition supplements, a lot of vascular health, things like nitric oxide, gas exchange, and other molecules like NAD, even things that talk about phospholipid membrane health. A lot of the cells break down when the phospholipids break down, so plasmolygen and glycocalyx. And how does that translate to the second half, which is really, and we have a strong focus on aesthetics as well. And when we look at hair restoration, dermatology, not just this regenerative medicine part, but more like lasers and topicals and microneedling and other combination therapies. And then the second day, yeah, the second series is going to be Saturday, Sunday, is the orthobiologics, where we look at cell signals and scaffolds across the different autologous and some 361 products. We're going to analyze the FDA issues, but then where do they fall? How do they work biochemically? What do we know about them? What studies have been done? And then how are they applied clinically, including research papers and outcomes for hips, shoulders, knees, and spine? Kevin Paz will be there. John Buford will be there. John Farrell will be there. We have a dedicated ultrasound.
I mean, from my standpoint, I'm a non-medical guy, quote unquote. I mean, I love his posts and his stuff is fantastic. And he played professional ball, didn't he?
Say that again.
Didn't he play professional ball? Wasn't he a baseball player?
Don Buford would, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's a steward of the industry. You know, he cares. You know, people look at him and say, well, he's a bad guy because he says things, bad things about certain companies. But, you know, everybody needs to be on their toes and everybody needs to, you know, and there is some stuff that I guess is marginal or questionable in the industry. There always is, right? But it doesn't mean that the whole industry is bad. And I think that's the takeaway. What can we do legally? What's safe? What's effective? What do we know works? And you know, what can we prove? And then how do we move forward, right? So what does industry need from academia? What does academia need from industry? What do the patients need? What do clinicians need from the government? How do we close the gap on the missing pieces of the puzzle? And how do we appreciate the things that we understand so that we can take the next step forward? Because it's not going to go away. It just has to be better. And, you know, there's companies that have been literally in phase three, two and three trials for these like Mesoblast and Dysgenics for 5 and 6 years. You know, and now all this other stuff's happened in the meantime. So you have two parallel pathways. You've got the, you know, regulatory intensive big pharma mode. And then you've got the small biologic companies trying to innovate kind of almost point of care surgical systems that can help patients and doctors. But I don't think it's a standalone. You know, I think everything goes together.
I think what's important too is, you know, we saw this in the ED space when I was in erectile dysfunction. And, you know, in 2014, there was basically one way, right? We were doing Trimix. And Trimix was great. But as things evolved, you know, you've got Gainswave and all these other and PRP, you know, we were one of the leading practices to do a lot of PRP. You know, today that practice would look very different. Trimix is probably the last thing I would do unless a guy had major prostate issues. But, you know, the thing is that the key is we have to come together on this, because the more we can band together and more on things with regards to like peptides and HRT, you know, peptides are in the crosshairs right now. And the cat, he's got his eyes are glowing at me. So bring the cat to Dallas. But, you know, we have to keep banding together. I think the more we can come together like this and have these conversations, because we're either going to band together or the feds are going to try and break us up. And this stuff is way too important to society. I mean, just the stuff that we can do, to heck with just the joints. Let's talk about dementia. Let's talk about COPD. Let's talk about.
Well, they all have systemic inflammatory things. So when you look at the root cause of disease, right? So what we look at is molecular logic of regenerative medicine and its ability to treat root cause inflammatory diseases across the spectrum of clinical issues, right? Yep. So that's a lot of words to say, well, this is how do we affect the same basic phenomena, which is systemic inflammation. So there's a thing called a cell danger response, and a guy named Robert Navarro, if you Google, he's on YouTube, and he gives a wonderful lecture on what he calls cell danger response, how the mitochondria are really the centurions of the cell. And they behave very much like a canary in the coal mine. So when you're starting to have immune or immunomodulatory deficits within the mitochondria, within the cell, the mitochondria is the first to signal it. And it does so by secreting ATP, which is typically used for energy, extracellular, and flare, shoots this flare in the air. And it says, we're not doing good over here. And it doesn't look good around us. So the immune system powers down a little bit. It says, okay, we're just going to, because we can't fight full bore on multiple fronts. We're going to have to back off, back off, back off. So they retreat. And it starts to retreat over time. And I believe this is the essence of things like chronic fatigue syndrome, Crohn's, lupus. Mm-hmm. It's why Lyme hangs around. And it's the long-term manifestation of complex neurological diseases like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. Some say that they're initiated or mitigated or influenced by retroviral DNA, which has been part of our genome for 25 million years. These viral DNAs get to express further, creating what's called damage-associated molecular patterns, which are these indicators that your immune system is to start to hibernate almost. So over 20, 30, 40 years, you just degrade. So how do you fix that? Well, a lot of people will say it's through the gut and it's food. And your gut should be like a golf course instead of a jungle, right? And the bacteria that live in there. So the companies that make these tests and provide these supplements, and it's a whole world of education for the healthcare provider, but I think they all have a vested interest in learning it because we're all patients, right? So we keep
So how do
really
people how, so the dates are what, June 3, 4, 5, 6?
3 and 4 is functional medicine, functional integrated personalized precision wellness with hands-on aesthetics. And then we have dedicated ultrasound Friday afternoon with Michael Meng from noon to 6. And then we have the percutaneous image-guided interventional orthobiologics for the clinical applications of musculoskeletal medicine or orthobiologics on Saturday and Sunday.
That sounds
Sorry, I
great.
just
And
went
how
to
do,
say
yeah, no, you have to. So one, that's what I want you to do.
that.
Part of the
It
reason
must
why
be
we're
said.
here.
And then we have the
So
FDA. We have the FDA
where do people
example.
sign up? Do they go to
Go to
bostonbiolife.com? Is
Boston.
it on?
Yeah, bostonbiolife.com. You'll see a giant blue thing in the middle of the website. Hit register now. Put your name in as an exhibitor and/or a attendee, and then it'll walk you through the pathway to join us. For every paid MD, we let them bring an administrator for free. That
Perfect.
way, that other people in your clinic can learn, they can meet the vendors. And really, the reasons why you would come here is hands-on training. We're offering 30 CME credits. You're going to get to meet the leaders in the industry and meet the companies. As I said in one of my posts, their whole business reality hinges on this thing. Everybody that's, a vendor or supplier or a product development engineer for a technology in this industry has a vested interest in knowing what's going on and hearing from them directly. And then we have fantastic faculty, and then the ability to gain actual hands-on experience in a clinical setting for a total of 8 hours over the 16. And
That's great.
we think it's a good way to go, and it's a great way to kind of pick up everything that if you're new to regenerative medicine, but say you're an interventional pain physician, you'll be able to gain the value of learning about all the functional medicine stuff, which creates healthier patients. Healthier patients have better outcomes, but then also learning the most latest, iteration of the different biologics you can use, the bone, blood, fat, and the 361 products out of the perinatal space. And to talk about some of the stuff like exosomes and Morton's jelly and some of the more perhaps poorly understood, but yet highly potentially,
Emerging, yeah,
yeah, I
pretty
mean,
amazing stuff coming
and
out.
again, the value there is really in learning. Talking to the scientists, we have probably, I think, 9 or 10 or 11 PhDs come into this thing. I have loaded for bear with PhD because unfortunately, physicians are so busy being doctors and they live in a world that's so regulated in their own right that they're not able to take the time to study and read the papers. The guys in academia, the people creating the research, the scientists are able to translate that information more clearly to the attendees. And I think the combination of the two is really, what is it and how does it work? And then how do you use it and what happens to who? And that's really all there is to it, but it's a lot. But that's just how I think it should be done.
Well, and what's really great is, it's great to be back out. It was wonderful, when we were at the other event in Miami.
Yeah, you just want to go golf.
Just, yeah, go, well,
Whatever.
but
Hey, Bob,
it's
my education was my interest in this field was purely founded on my desire to golf. We used to run radio frequency imaging courses on golf courses, Pelican Bay, every PGA. I played Shell, where the Houston Open was, the TPC Houston. That was a beautiful course, and obviously Doral and all those.
Oh,
But
yeah.
we do have a very nice venue. It's the Hotel Anatole. There's a beautiful riverway, and we encourage families to, people to bring their families. It is a long time. We are a family group, and a lot of doctors do bring their kids, and there's plenty for the kids to do. And it's we want you to come. It's not that expensive. I think it's $160 for a room, and we do have promo codes too to help. BBL10, BBL21 will give anybody that's listening to this a 10% discount, and the early bird special right now saves you $500 for all 4 days.
Great. And that's bostonbiolife.com. and click
Correct.
the blue button in the center, register now, right?
Yep. And if you hit the call button, the call screen, it'll call me. So you can reach me at 978-604-2528. And my email is my name. It's Joseph Krieger, K-R-I-E-G-E-R, all one word, at bostonbiolife.com.
Perfect. And I will see you there in Dallas as well. I'll be there for all 4 days.
Yes.
So has been kind enough to give me some slots to speak about growing your business. So can't just understand the science, but we want to know how to the science of how to sell it. And I'll be talking quite a bit about that. How to sell at higher prices. So we'll talk
about that. Yeah, and how you implement this into your practice, because patients are looking for it. And I talked to a pain doctor yesterday. He goes, all the chiropractors are stealing my business. And he says, I'm just going to be better. You know, I'm going to be better. I'm going to be learn this, and I'm going to integrate the functional side of things. And he's bringing his whole clinic. And I think that's what's important, is to understand it's not a one thing. There's a lot of stuff here, and you have to learn each thing, but it makes sense. It's logical. And all the resources, you would have to travel the world for 4 years to get what you're going to get in that hotel over those 4 days, literally.
Yeah.
You're going to get exposed. Everything that's in the industry is in that building. And will be talked about in some capacity. And I'm not going to say you're going to walk out of there, you know, like Mr. Peabody, knowing everything, but you'll certainly have heard the words, and you'll have access to any and all resources that you need to move forward.
And connect with some pretty brilliant minds in the industry too, which is pretty amazing. So
And we got a lot of great people there, and everybody wants this thing to work, and nobody's trying to do this to make a fast buck, and nobody wants to hurt a patient.
No.
I mean, I get it. It happens, but let's not, you know, lose the best potential opportunity for the most, you know, and the more that healthcare providers, and I've done this with radio frequency lesioning 27 years ago. Nobody did it. Everybody said, the anesthesiologists, they can't do that, and they're crazy. And we taught fluoroscopic anatomy, 1,600 patients, doctors a year for 12 years, and then taught radio frequency lesioning for low back pain. And now look at interventional pain management. I mean, you got spinal cord stimulators, 5 or 6 RF companies. You've got catheters and all kinds of stuff. Interdiscal technologies, thermal, and, you know, my endoscopic discectomy. And there's a lot of different things that have evolved over the time to help these doctors place needles at very precise targets. Mm-hmm. And that's all it is. This is no different, except for what's in the needles different. Instead of being an RF or being cryo or being ionizing radiation or glycerol or some other thing, it's cell signals and scaffolds that have the ability to either, you know, stimulate or turn on or facilitate your body's ability to heal itself. Mm-hmm. And that's all we're talking. You still need the skill. You still have to know the anatomy. You have to know the pathophysiology. You have to know who the patient is and why you're putting that needle where you're putting it, and ensuring that it's there. But after that, what's in the syringe is really the alchemy of, you know, the different things that you've learned and the guile of you as a doctor to be able to apply that in clinical practice. And it's not going to happen overnight, but I'm sure that exists in the other things that doctors do. So I don't think it's a stretch for them to really jump over this and to get involved. And I think that's the value of this particular point in time. You don't have to learn what everyone else had to learn 5 years ago. You can pop into Dallas and walk out of there kind of knowing a lot, not knowing everything. But you're going to know, you're going to bookend this whole industry, because that's what I've tried to do. And that's what I think everybody
can do. And be connected to other people that are doing it, right? So, you know, 5 years ago, this was there were only a few and they were the crazy ones, right? Now you're going to be connected with 500 who, and they're, you know, this is becoming much more mainstream, and there's plenty of opportunity out there. So,
yeah, and there's other groups too that are out there to support you, ultrasound groups and orthopedic groups, and I encourage people to go to everyone's meeting, not just mine.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, you know, it takes a lot to learn. But thank you so much for doing this.
I think no problem.
We went over budget.
Oh, that's fine. You and I get to talking, and it's, you know, before we know it, it's 30 minutes.
Yeah, I think it took us like 40 minutes to play one hole, because you were telling me stories about the Princeton Country Club.
Oh yeah, there's plenty of stories. That one of these days I'll write a book, and I think I told you a few stories about the ED clinic, which my attorney is
Matt has a wonderful ability to impersonate people that he's met in his life, and I can only imagine what he's going to say about me. But no, I appreciate.
Hey, look, you know, when you're the youngest of an Irish Catholic family of 6 kids, the only way you get noticed and fed is impersonation. So you gotta make everybody laugh so they drop the ladle so you can get some food. That's how it works. So.
Excellent.
You can have more stew, because that's what every good Irish family has, is a lot of stew. So, a lot of pot roast. All right. Well, look, go to bostonbiolife.com. I'll be in Dallas. I'll see you there. Come over and shake my hand. Obviously, you'll see Joe.
Yes.
And Joe, I'm looking forward to it.
Yep, Matt, and obviously I'll endorse you by saying that you offer tremendous resources for healthcare providers that are learning new ways to make money and new and emerging therapies. And having been a practice owner yourself, I think you are, a really good resource. I know that the people that listen to you on our webinars benefited tremendously from it. We have direct feedback and people looking forward to talking to you again. And you had great numbers with us, and I think you provide a valuable service to people out there that are. It's one thing to know how to do it. It's one thing to know what it is. It's another to know who to do it on. But the rest of the stuff is not that simple to figure out. And that's where you come in. And so, I applaud you for the great work you do. And I'm always
Thank
happy
you.
to refer people to SRP Medical Marketing.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it very much.
Right,
All right,
guys.
bring the cat to Dallas, okay? I gotta.
No, the cat's going to stay here. There's another cat, too. They're friends. He's in good shape.
Okay.
All right. Well, happy
All right,
spring.
man.
And
I'll talk to you later,
we'll
brother.
talk soon.
See you.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.